shocking acts of terrorism, soaring crime rates, and increasing incidences of violence are propounded by film, media, and government reports alike, create strong public sympathy and support for harsh tactics and surveillance techniques, until individuals are monitored to a level more befitting a totalitarian state. Public opinion would once again be manipulated to give the Masons justification for their actions and make their goals easier. The means of monitoring the masses and storing all personal information on individuals in society on a massive mega database are already underway. Rapid movements are taking place towards storing personal information on individuals on plastic, such as banking details, driving license information, and national insurance details. Currently, these details are stored on separate cards, but plans are well underway to merge all the information onto one identity card. The consequence would be complete monitoring of all purchases and transactions and personal details of an individual at the touch of a button. In 1992, the Vice Chancellor of the British Supreme Court, Nicholas Brown Wilkinson, told the High Court that if the information obtained by the police, the Inland Revenue, the social services, the health service and other agencies would be to be gathered together in one file, the freedom of the individual would be greatly at risk. The Freemasons, through the governments controlled by them, already have access to vast array of information about you. They can already find out who you talk to on the phone, where you work, where you shop, what you eat, what you wear, how much you are worth, what you earn, and the list goes on and on. One identity card would allow even closer monitoring and enable a complete psychological profile to be compiled on every individual in society. Information which would make it very easy to predict, control, and manipulate actions. However, there is a gap that the Masons need to fill in. By using hard currency, an individual can evade detection and vital information is lost since hard currency transactions are untraceable. As a result, moves are being made to replace hard currency with a system that relies totally on electronic funds transfer. In other words, a system that relies totally on cards. Trails in Swindon have heralded the first signs of a move towards the introduction of smart cards and electronic money on a national scale in the UK. The Mondex scheme is pioneered by NatWest and Midland Banks and British Telecom. Inside a smart card is a microchip which calculates every single transaction, not only financial transactions, but records every single thing for which it is used. It can serve as a credit card, a building society passbook, library card, travel card, phone card, and quite possibly an identity card. Although an identity card would reveal much detail, it would not be able to locate any one person precisely at any given instant time. This would require some sort of tracking device that could be put on and detected wherever that person may be on the globe. The tracking device would be an all-purpose microchipped identification device or an electronic implant placed under the skin. These implants could then send off a signal which could then be picked up by satellite in low Earth orbit, locating and identifying the subject. Although this may sound like the works of fiction, it is, however, already well on its way to becoming reality. There are already approximately 48 global positioning satellites in orbit that are in use by the United States and her allies. These satellites can act upon incoming signals and pass down accurate information to the source of the signal about its location. At present, the source of the signals are devices that are attached to tanks, battleships, aircraft, or handheld instruments for accurate navigation purposes. The next step would be to introduce the device that creates the source signal on every individual. Currently, one form of device that has been created specifically as a signal source for the satellites is the electronic tag. Already a scheme using such tags on individuals is in operation in the UK. The justification used is that it is necessary to curb the growth in the population of the already overflowing prisons. The tag fits securely around the offender's wrists and can be monitored to see if the offenders are violating curfew regulations. Pilot tagging schemes are already in operation in Greater Manchester, Berkshire and Norfolk, with plans for expansion in other countries in the coming year. The Freemasons' plan for complete global control by one governmental body means that they must pave the way for complete global economic union, complete global legislatory and political union, and complete global military union. On March the 25th, 1957, with the creation of the European Economic Community, the first significant steps in the creation of this global government were taken. Since then, the EEC has become a testing ground for the New World Order. With the basic tenets of freedom of movement between member states already established, goods and people can move relatively freely within this one superstate. The plans are already underway for the establishment of complete monetary union, and the powers of the governmental body of Europe are growing every day, paving the way for complete political and legislatory union. All this will mean that eventually, in the superstate of the European Economic Community, there will be one currency, one economy, and one government. And the government would most certainly be a Masonic government. The three most important players of the European Community are Britain, France, and Germany. Britain and France have long been Masonically controlled nations. During World War II, Germany was completely annexed by Britain and France, along with the United States, another Masonic nation, and the Soviet Union. The sectors of Germany controlled by the former three countries, the Masonic nations, formed a separate political identity called West Germany. And with the downfall of the Berlin Wall, West Germany has now taken over the former East Germany. Europe is not alone in its efforts to achieve superstate status. America and Mexico are currently the only two members of NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. However, the nations of the South are increasingly being pursued to join. With Masonic superstates in both Europe and America firmly established, global union would be a logical and easy progression. However, there is another problem that the Masons need to contend with if they are to be the masters of this global union. By the 1970s, it was becoming increasingly clear that the population of Europe and White America was rapidly declining. Unless something was done, the expanding size of the population of Third World nations would pose a serious threat to national security of Masonically controlled countries. Western consumer power and productivity would reduce, and as a result, they would be completely dependent on that of the Third World population. Somehow, the gap between Western population and Third World population had to be a bridge to restore Western supremacy, or more precisely, Masonic supremacy, at a global scale. In the 1970s, President Jimmy Carter commissioned the Global 2000 Report. The findings of the report blamed virtually all of the world problems on the population growth of non-white people. The report went on as far as recommending the elimination of at least 2 billion people in Third World nations off the face of the earth by the year 2000 in order to restore Western supremacy. Interestingly enough, also in the 70s, the AIDS epidemic broke out, claiming huge amounts of life in Third World nations, as well as amongst the growing black and Hispanic population of America. It was said that the virus originated from green monkeys in Africa and was later passed on to the local population through either acts of bestiality or through consuming them as food. From there on, AIDS spread like wildfire across the African continent and later on to the rest of the world, claiming millions of lives. However, the story was just a smokescreen. On June the 2nd, 1988, the Los Angeles Times published an article refuting the idea that the human AIDS virus originated from green monkeys. It uncovered evidence that the DNA composition of AIDS was totally inconsistent with that of green monkeys. In fact, it could be proven that the AIDS virus could not be found anywhere in nature and could only have ever survived in the human biological system. If the virus did not exist anywhere in nature, the question is raised as to where exactly the virus all of a sudden stemmed from. On July the 4th, 1984, the New Delhi newspaper in India called The Patriot published an article making the first detailed charges of AIDS as being a counter-biological warfare agent. An anonymous American anthropologist was quoted claiming that AIDS was genetically engineered at the US Army's Biological Warfare Laboratory at Fort Detrick near Frederick, Maryland. Then on October the 30th, 1985, the Soviet journal Litteraturnaya Gazeta repeated the charges made by the Indian newspaper, making it an international controversy.